Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me our sermon title today? It's a question. Under arrest, based on Hebrews chapter 5, these verses. We have many things to say, but you are slow to hear. You have need to be taught again the first principles of the Word of God. You are like babes who need milk and not strong meat. Please follow your sermon outline as we consider our theme, Under Arrest. Have you ever been put into the jail by the police? Have you ever been arrested? Susan says, oh, no, not me. Well, I have been arrested once. Let me tell you the story. My father, mother, little brother came up from the USA to visit us in Edmonton, and I took them to a historic national site called Ukrainian Village, just east of Edmonton. In this village, there are characters who were dressed like people from 100 years ago, and they have original buildings, sod houses, stores, churches from 100 years ago when Ukrainians first came and immigrated and settled the area. At the end of this beautiful day of touring and seeing all these buildings and churches and being guided by these actors dressed in period costumes, the last place we went to was a general store. The man in the general store was a delightful actor. He had a nice apron on, a pencil behind his ear. He was selling all kinds of household goods and building products. When we left, he gave me a big hug. And we left the building and we're going down the main street. And soon after, he yelled out to the whole community, "Stop thief! Stop thief!" We looked around and wondered what is going on here. And then came a man dressed like Mr. McKenzie, running down with his red serge, and running down and saying, "What's the matter?" And the proprietor said, "I've been robbed." Quickly, I was frisked. And into my coat pocket, the policeman found a paintbrush. Ah, that proprietor planted it when he gave me a hug. This was all part of the stage and show of this national museum and historic site. But soon the crowd was building around me. The RCMP officer put heavy iron chains on my wrists and dragged me to the jail. The crowd were all following. My parents, my brother thought it was hilarious. I was terribly embarrassed with all these people watching me. He threw me into jail, closed the iron bars behind me, and there I was arrested. Soon I got out for good behavior, believe it or not. That's the closest I've come to being arrested. I can well imagine that most of you here today have not even come close to being arrested in a criminal sense. Yet arrest has another meaning in the dictionary. And many people, and likely quite a few of us here today, are under arrest in another sense. Because the further dictionary definition of arrest is this: ceasing to grow, or the act of stopping or slowing. So we might say the growth of our economy has been arrested. Look at your sermon outline. Some adults are emotionally arrested. So their method of problem solving is like a 5-year-old's. To yell and to scream, to throw a temper tantrum, to make somebody else's life miserable. And we might say that children go through a stage of such emotional outbursts, but they eventually grow out of it. But there are some adults who are emotionally arrested and still use this 5-year-old way of solving problems. Some people are socially arrested and related to others. So a child may declare, "If we can't play at recess time the way I want to play, I'll take my toys and go home." But arrested adults may act with a little more sophistication, but pretty much practice the same routine at home, on the job, even at church. If I can't have it my way, then I'll take my toys and go home. But being spiritually arrested is probably the most common form of being arrested seen among church people today. Remember, arrest means ceasing to grow. Far too many church members reach a minimal level of spiritual understanding and then decide that's enough. No more need to grow or to go deeper. In a past issue of our national magazine for our church body called the Canadian Lutheran, a report shared that less than 14% of all Canadians ever open the Bible at least once a year. 14%. But when a study of church people was done, only 23% of church people claimed the Bible had any relevance to their daily life. And in our Lutheran church, far too often, adults have the spiritual understanding of a 12-year-old child. And you guess why? Because they attended confirmation class, and when confirmation was done, they never really studied God's word again. Could this apply to our congregation? It does. In our sermon text today from Hebrews chapter 5, we meet an entire congregation under spiritual arrest. And the writer of the book of Hebrews knows that spiritual arrest leads to loss of faith and spiritual death. Listen again to Hebrews chapter 5. We have many things to say, but you are slow to hear. You need to be taught again the first principles of the Word of God. You are like babes who need spiritual milk and not strong meat. These folks in this congregation were spiritually arrested. They are described as babies needing milk and can't even eat strong meat. Their pastor wanted to take them deeper into the solid Word of God's holy meat, the Scriptures. But these people were satisfied with milk. Oh, pastor, don't get too serious. Don't call me to a deeper commitment to my Savior and to His church. This morning, besides the Hebrew congregation, we'll talk about two other examples of spiritual arrest. The first is from John's Gospel, chapter 3. Listen to this passage. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus at night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know you're a teacher come from God." Jesus said to him, "I say to you, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus was a ruling member of the Pharisees, the top 70 elders of the Sanhedrin in all Jerusalem. He was a recognized authority in Jewish religion, but Nicodemus was spiritually arrested. He was suffocating on the stranglehold of religious legalism and the Pharisees' countless have-tos of self-righteousness. Nicodemus was not growing close to God, and he knew he wasn't. So he sought out Jesus to be freed from his spiritual arrest. Note, when did he meet with Jesus? He met with him at night, under the cover of darkness, so no one could see that such a religious man was spiritually bankrupt. But Jesus tells this religious leader, "You must be born again." Nicodemus learns that he needs a brand new start with God, based on grace and faith, not based on doing good works to earn God's favor. Jesus set Nicodemus free from his spiritual unrest, and Nicodemus becomes a disciple of Jesus. How do we know? Because as our dear Lord Jesus hung upon that cross, it was Nicodemus, with the help of Joseph of Arimathea, who personally, in the view of all people, loved him and took him down from the cross and laid him in the tomb. And that tomb of Jesus, supplied by Nicodemus and Joseph, became the glorious pulpit of our Lord Jesus Christ, that declared his victory over sin and death and sinner for all of us. Now, I said earlier we talk about two cases of spiritual arrest besides the Hebrews congregation. First, it was Nicodemus. And the second case is guess who? What did your outline say? Say it, Marlene. Us today. Far too often, we are like the congregation described in Hebrews chapter 5. Like babes needing milk and not solid food. The entire church today in our congregation is too satisfied with spiritual milk. Oh, pastor, just give me John 3:16, some Sunday school stories, an amusing children's message, an entertaining 20-minute sermon, but pastor, don't call me to a deeper commitment to my Lord Jesus Christ, to studying the Holy Scripture in Bible class, to service and giving and support of His church. Oh, pastor, I am comfortable in my spiritual state of arrest. Or perhaps we more resemble Nicodemus. Do you? Are you suffocating on the stranglehold of religious legalism? Are you trying to earn God's love by doing good deeds and keeping the commandments yet failing again and again? Or whatever kind of arrest you're under, boy, have I got good news for you today. Jesus has set us free. Jesus will set us free. Jesus wants to set us free from our spiritual arrest. Freedom is what He's come to bring. Now, there are countless passages in the New Testament, the Scripture of our God, that talk about spiritual freedom. I've only chosen two. Listen to the first one, Romans 8, verse 2. Because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit of life, that means the gospel, has set me free from the law of sin and death, that is, by doing good works. Galatians 5, 5. For it is freedom, for freedom that Christ has set us free. Do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Today, the way that God delivers His spiritual freedom is through the preaching and teaching and studying of His holy word, the Bible. In fact, Martin Luther called the Bible the cradle for the Christ child. What did he mean? It's the Bible that holds Jesus Christ on every page to deliver Him to us. In every page of Holy Scripture, Christ, our dear Lord, speaks to our heart, draws us closer to Him, gives us faith and spiritual freedom. When summer is over, at least the summer months of June, July, and August, and September arrives, we start our new series of fall Bible classes. Sunday school, Sunday youth class, family confirmation class, Sunday ESL class, Tuesday morning men's class, Wednesday morning women's class, Wednesday night class for us all. I ask you right now to make a commitment to look ahead to September, starts on Sunday the 8th. To make a new start in gathering here together with God's people to study His holy word. Through the proclamation and study of His holy word, our loving God gives us freedom from spiritual arrest. In this word of God, we hear the gospel. What is that? The great news of Jesus, our Savior, who's dying on the cross and rising from the grave, set us free. Free from the wrath of a holy God due to our sin. Free from the accusations of the devil. Free from trying to keep the commandments to keep God loving us. Free from the power of the grave. Free to live in the joy and the assurance that the love of God will never end, but one day take us to Himself forever. In heaven. Jesus said of Himself in John 8, verse 36, if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. My friends, are you under arrest? In Jesus' name, I say to you, no, you are and you can be free. Go live in that freedom and let the Word of God dwell richly in your heart and in your homes. In the name of Jesus, all God's people said, Amen.